Our scripture this morning comes from the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, verses 32 to 40. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." When I first moved to Washington, D.C. to go to seminary, it wasn't just the first time that I lived in a big city. It was the first time that I had lived anywhere that could be considered bigger than a small village. And so, of course, I was exposed to a lot of things that didn't exist where I was from, one of those being public transportation. It didn't take me long to get used to the metro system. It was underground and on tracks, and there was a set number of stops and really clear maps in every train car. It was easy to look up online how to get from point A to point B, and so I never had to be afraid of getting lost. The bus, on the other hand, was a different story. There were so many different buses, and they all went to different places, and there was no clear map. You could get on multiple buses at the same location, and they would all take you somewhere completely different. And so for the first year or so that I lived there, I was always way too afraid to ride the bus. But at the same time, there were some clear advantages to the bus. It stopped right by our seminary, whereas the metro was about a mile away. It went to so many more places, and it was cheaper, which was a really big plus as a poor graduate student. But even with those advantages, I was still way too afraid to get lost. However, over time, as I started to ride the bus with more friends, I found myself thinking that maybe I could do this by myself. So I took some clear and easy rides, and then slowly I started to realize that I didn't need to be afraid, and that you can actually get lost on a bus, and it will turn out okay, because at least in D.C. where I lived, my fellow bus riders were always pretty nice and would help you out. Once I got over my fear, suddenly the whole city was open to me, and I knew I had arrived when one time I actually helped a bus driver who was lost driving the bus find the correct route as me and a few passengers banded together and helped this new driver through. I could go places I was missing out on before. I was saving money, and I was seeing new things. And yet, that fear was real. And like so many other fears, it caused me to miss out on a lot. We miss out on a lot in life because of fear. And it's understandable because we have a lot to fear in our lives and in our world. We may not try something because of our fear of failure. We may not ask a question or ask for help because we fear rejection. We may not make ourselves vulnerable in a relationship because we fear abandonment. We may not be generous with what we have because we fear scarcity. This way that fear impacts us is why the first sentence of our scripture is so important. Here Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not be afraid. God wants to welcome you into the kingdom. Do not be afraid. God's kingdom is one of love and grace and abundance. Do not be afraid. God is pleased to provide for you. Do not be afraid. Your life isn't defined by how good or successful or powerful you are. Do not be afraid. You are defined as a beloved child of God. Do not be afraid. We need to keep these words in mind as we look to the rest of the passage. Why? Because when we start from the place that God has freed us from fear, that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the rest of these words take on a whole new meaning. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Just think about that phrase for a moment. First, it's God's good pleasure. That means that the receiving of the kingdom, the promise that we don't have to be afraid, it doesn't come at all from what we do. It's not like we receive the kingdom when we suddenly become brave enough or good enough or worthy enough. No, it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God doesn't want to just give us a little. God doesn't just hope things are going to work out okay for us. God doesn't just wait for us to hopefully do enough or be good enough to earn God's favor. No, God wants to give us the kingdom because that's who God is. Our God is gracious and loving and merciful and good. This is what God actually wants for us, to not have to live in fear, to receive the kingdom. Because God wants to give us the kingdom. That means that God wants to give us the way that God intends the world to be. A world where we don't have to fear. A world where our identity is first and foremost, beloved child of God. A world where the least and the lost and the last are cared for and lonely and welcomed. A world that isn't built on power and success, but on love and service. And in a world like that, we don't have to be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When we start with a promise of God that we have nothing to fear, these words that follow, both about possession and preparation, they go from being a command to being an invitation. And why does that matter? Well, let's be honest, none of us are taking these words as a command. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And none of you actually want me to tell you this morning that Jesus is really commanding you to do that. But what if those words are an invitation based on the promise that we don't have to fear because God has already given us his kingdom? What happens then? Well, we have the freedom to be generous. We don't have to be afraid to be generous. After all, why aren't we more generous people, giving away more of our time and our possessions, our money, or our resources? Well, maybe it's because you're just rude and you don't care about other people, but I don't really think that that's any of you. No, we aren't more generous people because we are all at some level afraid that we will not have enough. Sometimes this comes out clearly and we just say, well, I can't give more because I don't think I'm going to have enough. I can't give more of my time because I'm not going to have enough time if I do this. I can't give more of what we have because I won't have enough for myself. Sometimes it's more understated. We just think it in our head. I might need this thing later, so I'm just going to store it away where no one will even know that I have it. But it all comes back to fear that we will not have enough. But remember what Jesus tells us right before he gives these words. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We can be generous because we don't have to fear having enough of what matters. We can be generous because God has already given us his kingdom. We can be generous because our identity doesn't come from how much we have or what we do, but from being beloved children of God. We can be generous because we are free from fear. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When we are afraid, we tend to look for and treasure that which gives us security. We look to our possessions or our money or anything that we can hold on to because we're so afraid of what might happen if we lose it. We all do this. And yet, if we truly start to trust the words of Jesus here, that we don't have to be afraid, that God will provide what we need, and that in fact, God already provides his kingdom to us, it opens up the invitation of these words to live more generous lives. An invitation is an offer of freedom, and promises of Jesus always lead us to more freedom. And so we have the freedom and the promise to bring the kingdom, to prepare the world for Christ, as the second half of the scripture reminds us. Now, to prepare ourselves implies some sort of action. We don't just sit around waiting for Jesus to show up. That would be a life of fear. Instead, we live our lives preparing for Christ by seeking to bring more of God's kingdom here to earth. That means we strive to be people who are so rooted in the promise of God's good pleasure that we really trust that we are beloved children of God so much that we can treat others that way as well. We can make our church and our communities and lives places where others see and experience God's good pleasure, places where others come to believe that they don't have to be afraid either. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Imagine what we could do if we took those words seriously. Think about the impact we could make, the people we could serve, the change we could bring, the grace and love of Christ we could offer if we weren't hindered by fear. Imagine what we could do if we truly believed that our identity came from being beloved children of God and not from how much we have or what job we do or what possessions we own or how successful we are. Think about what you would do if you weren't afraid of having enough or accomplishing enough. Think about what you would do if you started each day really, truly believing that you are a beloved child of God and that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think about what you would do if you started each day believing that about everybody else, too. Perhaps you would be more generous in what you gave. Perhaps you would sell some of your possessions and give the money away. Perhaps you'd be more generous with your time in serving others. Perhaps you'd be more generous in sharing the gospel and sharing your faith with others and sharing good news. Perhaps you wouldn't live in fear. Perhaps you would seek to offer an invitation to others to experience the kingdom. We're free from fear because Christ loves us. We're free from fear because our identity is in Christ. We're free from fear because God gives us the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.